While shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light.
Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go.
Angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth.
I want to share a message with you this Christmas Eve that sort of centers around the mother of Jesus. So centers around Mary. Sometimes inspiration for messages, for words to bring to the congregation come from odd places. And this message has been sitting in my heart a little bit for probably a year, maybe about a year. It comes from a Saturday Night Live sketch. I saw a Saturday Night Live sketch and it really spoke to me. I tried to find it online, but all I could find was those, like, the person has not made this video available in your country, so you're not going to be able to see it, and I'm not really going to try and describe it to you because I can't. But the sketch centered around the person of Mary. And it was this the story of Jesus being born in the stable, and all of these people coming, and Mary having just given birth to a baby in a barn, and having to lay the baby in a feed trough, and these shepherds are coming and showing up, and she's just given birth, and she's exhausted and tired, and trying to play host to these shepherds and these wise men, and these things just keep happening. And it was very funny, but it was also just this amazing picture, and it was really amazing. It was Saturday Night Live, but it was this amazing picture of, like, the personhood, that this isn't just a story, but that Mary was a real person, and as she had just given birth to a baby, and shepherds are showing up, and all this stuff is going on, and she's trying to deal with it, but this girl was going through all that. She had just given birth to a boy, and a boy that had come about in this incredible way, and the pressure she must have been feeling with and dealing with as she knows all that's taken place in her life and it's now being fulfilled. And it really got me thinking about Mary and her story and who she is, and just realizing that Mary is remarkable. I started thinking about this teenage girl who is engaged to be married. Now I want to pause here and just say that if you are in our youth ministry and you go to Cornerstone Church, or if you are new to our church here tonight, we don't encourage girls to be married at 14. I'm not saying she's remarkable because she's an example for all of the girls in the church. By the time you're 14, that's not. I just want to be very clear about our stance on 14-year-olds getting engaged. We are anti that. But in Luke chapter 1, we're introduced to Mary, and this incredible story begins to unfold. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's Mary's aunt, and so she's pregnant, and God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town called Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. What is this? What is going on? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Mary's about 14 years old and she's engaged to be married, when all of a sudden an angel shows up, and she's doing whatever she's doing, and an angel shows up and says, "Behold, Mary, you have found favor with God." This, of course, scares Mary. This is not a normal thing. Raise your hand if this has ever happened to you. Exactly. You know, this isn't a normal day-to-day occurrence. This 14-year-old girl is scared. She's startled. She doesn't know what to do. And the angel can tell. So he doubles down and says to her again, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God." this Christmas Eve, I want to draw out three things for you from this story that you can take from the life of Mary and put into your own life. The first is that God has favor for you, just like Mary. The same way that the angel showed up to announce to Mary that she had found favor with God, I want to announce to you tonight that you can find favor with God. That God has favor for you. You have favor in the eyes of God. And the way that you find favor with God is through the person of Jesus Christ, is through a relationship with Him. You have favor not because of your merit, not because of your behavior, not because of what you've done, but because of believing in Jesus Christ, you can find favor with God. Now, what is favor? Favor is acceptance. Favor is approval. Favor is God saying, you are loved by me. You are good enough in my sight. You are not broken or wrong or incomplete. Another word for favor would be grace. When we say that Mary had favor, that God has favor for you, what we're saying is God has grace for you. Grace for your life, grace for your shortcomings. You see, this is the introduction we're given to Mary in Scripture. We're not given this long story of this incredible woman full of faith that earned the right to bear the Son of God. We're not given a picture of this woman who we're shown all these accolades of things that she's done. And because she was able to earn her way into this relationship, no, we're just presented with this girl that God has chosen, that Scripture will say she had found favor with God. And it's the same for you. You don't find favor by God or favor from God by doing all of these things to earn your way into favor with God. God just has favor for you. Now, favor used to be limited to just every once in a while. God would show up and have favor on someone like He did Mary. The Bible will say Noah found favor with God, or it'll say that Esther found favor with Mordecai. But when we believe in Jesus, Paul says that the favor of God was poured out on his life. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." In other words, I didn't receive the grace of God. I didn't receive the favor of God because of striving. I didn't get there because of earning. I didn't get there because of my works. I didn't get there because of all of these amazing things that I did, and God had no choice but to offer me His favor. No, God just poured it out on my life, abundantly, all over me, like a shower raining down on me. He poured out His love. He poured out His faith. He poured out His grace. And I want to say to you tonight, God has favor for you. When God, that's a good point. When God looks at you, it's better than an amen. When God looks at you, He accepts you. He approves of you. Another definition is that He likes you. Isn't it good to know that because of Jesus in you, God likes you? You know, sometimes liking is harder than loving. We tell our kids that all the time. You don't have to like them, but you have to love them. And so sometimes it's harder to actually like someone again. I can love them out of obligation, but I have to like them out of relationship. And God likes you. When He looks at you, He likes to see you. He gets a smile on His face when you walk through the door. He is happy to see you. God likes you. And so the angel shows up to Mary and says to her, "You have found favor with God." And then he begins to unpack for her this amazing, unbelievable, unfathomable story. What's going to happen in her life because she has found favor with God? He says to her, "Listen, I know you're engaged, and I know you're a virgin, but you're carrying a baby, the Son of God, the Messiah. You are carrying Jesus." He will say this, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." After the angel speaks to Mary and calms her fears, and he begins to unpack for her this incredible prophecy of who her son is going to be, that he is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he tells her that she's blessed and going to have this baby, Mary has some questions. "How is this going to happen?" she asks the angel. And the angel's response to Mary is the next thing that I want to connect to you tonight. When Mary says to the angel, "How is this going to happen? How is this going to take place?" The angel says to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." The second thing that I have for you tonight is that the Holy Spirit is working in you. Mary asks the angel, "How is this going to happen?" And the angel says, "The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the Holy Spirit is going to give birth to something in you, something bigger than yourself." As a church, we believe that God still calls people to supernatural things so that we can live in supernatural ways. God is still birthing and doing supernatural things in our lives. Perhaps not the same thing as in Mary's life, because in God, we are not called to live simple, ordinary, mundane lives. That as we come into relationship with Jesus, we're not called to the life we had before. We're called into something new, and that something new is going to be powered by the supernatural. God didn't just do miracles in Bible times and limit them to the Bible times. But there are things inside of you that are being birthed by the Holy Spirit even right now. Big, amazing things. Things that don't make sense to other people, like Mary and being pregnant. It's going to be very difficult to walk this out for Mary. To say to her family, to say to her friends, to say to Joseph, "Listen, you're just going to have to trust me. It's God's." It's going to be met with a whole ton of skepticism. People are going to laugh at her. They're going to mock her. It's going to be a struggle for the people around her to understand what's going on. And the same can be true for you. That in your own life, You are feeling these things birthed inside of you, these ideas, these dreams that you have for your life, and you think, if I tell anybody this, they're going to laugh at me. No one's going to believe me. If I say, I am capable of this, I'm going to start this nonprofit, I am going to minister to these people, I'm going to become a missionary over there, I am going to go on my school campus and I'm going to start a Christian club, and people are going to say, you can't do that. But God is showing you visions for your life, visions for other people, and showing you what he's going to do in you and through you for yourself and for others. And it may sound crazy, and it may even sound crazy to you. You may feel like Mary does when God tells you what he has for you, and your response to him is, "God, I got some questions. God, I got some questions. God, I don't understand this thing that you're saying you're going to do in my life because it sounds impossible." But there are things that God is looking to do. There are still things that God wants to do. There is still something that he's trying to birth. There is still a God agenda, and there's still a purpose, and there's still a plan. There is still more with God, more for you and more in you through God to be ministered to this world. But for you tonight, God is doing a mighty work inside of you. And one day in his time, it's going to make its way to the outside. The last part of the story for tonight. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was once said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Other translations will say, "For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The end of this part of the story of Mary She starts out after the angel appears to her. She's afraid. She's scared. She's unaware of what's going on. And then she's confused and she doesn't understand how this is going to happen. But as the angel speaks to her, we finally come to the end where she tells the angel, "All right, you win. I will submit myself to you. May your word be fulfilled in me." This is the same prayer that her son, being birthed in her by the Holy Spirit, would pray in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he's about to die for the sins of all mankind. As Jesus is praying and coming to God for help with all of the things that he knows are about to take place in his life, he comes to his Father and he prays to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. May your word be fulfilled in me." Jesus is praying the same prayer as his mom prayed. And let that be a lesson to the parents and the future parents in the room today. Your kids may end up praying the same prayers that you are praying now. God knew who he was choosing when he chose Mary. Because a response like this doesn't come in a moment. It's not a decision, well, that we can say to ourselves, "Well, if the angels from heaven show up in my life, then I'll do what God asks. But if it's not an angel, I don't know. If it's not an angel, I'm probably not going to do it." A response like this to a situation like this only comes from a life lived with a heart like this. We don't know anything about Mary prior to this point in her story. But I could tell you this, she had a heart for following God. A heart of surrender to God. And this is the third thing for you tonight. On this Christmas Eve, God's favor, God's grace, God's purpose, and his will for you that the Holy Spirit is cultivating in you right now, these things come from a place of surrender in our lives. When we hand ourselves, our lives, our wants, our desires, our sin and our shame, our falling short, the good and the bad, when we hand our lives over to God, when we finally come to a place where we lift our heads and say, "Okay, God, not my will, but your will. God, may your word be fulfilled in me. God, what you want, it's what I want. God, I want to live my life for you." Then we discover that God has grace for us. He looks on us with favor. He likes us. He really likes us. And then we begin to see the things in our lives that God has placed there, that God has given to us. Maybe we know about them. Maybe we don't. Maybe we know that they're from God. Maybe we don't. But suddenly the context of our lives begins to make sense. And our feelings and our passions, they begin to come into focus. And we see our lives in a new way. And it starts with surrender. It starts with giving your life over to God. If you are here tonight and you've never met Jesus, if you don't know what it is to have something in your life that is this consistent and this unchanging, something in your life that loves you enough to meet you in your flaws, but also loves you enough and is powerful enough to not leave you there, following our time together, I would love an opportunity to introduce you to my God and to my friend, Jesus Christ. Following our time together, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, what better time than now to begin this journey? As we celebrate Jesus coming to mankind, we can celebrate Jesus coming into your life. And if you're here today and you have a relationship with God, if you would say, I am there already, I want to encourage you to make the choice. Jesus will say, each day, take up your cross. I want to encourage you in your walk with God, if you already have one, each day, choose to live your life in surrender. Because God has big things for you. God has not called a single one of us to a boring life. God has not called a single one of us to a life of the mundane. But when God is in work in your life and we live in a place of surrender and we live in a place where we have found favor with God, God will do amazing things in you and God will do amazing things through you.
What child is this? who lay to rest on Mary's.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go. Of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to sing his praise, the babe, the Son.
Cross he'll bear for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.